celebration. First month.
Welcome to Public Health, Senate Health, Welfare, and Safety Committee will come to order. Just want to encourage you to turn your cell phones off, put them on vibrate or silence. Would the Secretary take the roll?
Today is Friday, January 6th, 2023. Vice Chair Lenz.
Here.
Senator Beard.
Here.
Senator Glimm.
Here.
Senator Gross.
Excused.
She's here.
She is here. Senator Heinbaugh.
Excused.
Vice Chair Kelker.
Here.
Senator Molnar.
Here.
Senator Weber.
Here.
Chairman McGillivray.
Here.
Thank you.
Again, welcome to Senate Health, Welfare, and Safety Committee. If you're here to testify, please sign in as a witness, as if you're a proponent, opponent, or informational witness, and your affiliation. If you're submitting written testimony, be sure to give the committee a copy and the secretary a copy as well. Just a reminder that all the testimony here is live. Everything is recorded over the internet and over statewide TV. Audio tape minutes also remain online as part of the permanent public record. Any personal information you share also would be part of that record. I just ask you to, when you come up to the podium, please speak into the microphone. And with that, we'll begin the hearing on Senate Bill 36, Senator Lenz.
Good afternoon, members of Senate Public Health. Dennis Lenz, Senate District 27. So, on the second day, I see it for the Public Health from this side. That's kind of cool. Fairly straightforward bill. Senate Bill 36 is. I'm always a big advocate for legislative oversight. But it has to be relevant oversight and significant. I do kind of always lean that way. But I think we're looking at here a thing, three reports that we possibly could move forward without having to do any more. One of which is the Older Montana's Trust Fund reporting. The Older Montana's Trust Fund is no longer funded. The second one would be secure data warehouse implementation. This information is also reported to Legislative Finance Committee. And then Parents as Scholars funding, it serves less than 25 individuals per month, and it doesn't end up giving us any significant input. So we'll have other testimony on this, and I'd be glad to talk about it later. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Lenz. Do we have proponents for Senate Bill 36?
Good morning. Ooh, that's loud. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Erica Johnston, Executive Director for Human Service Practices in the Department of Public Health and Human Services. And I stand here in support of Senate Bill 36. We'd like to thank Senator Lenz for carrying this agency-sponsored legislation. DPHHS recognizes the need for legislative oversight and the role of effective and informative reports in providing that oversight. The department does not propose eliminating reports which provide useful oversight information to the Montana legislature or which serve a useful purpose. Senate Bill 39 aligns with the intent of Executive Order Number 1-2021, Red Tape Relief, based on removing language from statute that is no longer relevant. The bill proposes to eliminate the following required reports. And I'll just turn you to the bill. Section 1, MCA 5-12-303, is a longstanding section of required reporting for the legislative fiscal analysis of the agency's budget. Section 4, on my version, page 2, was added as we were bringing the enterprise data warehouse online for the agency and ensuring that the legislative fiscal analyst needs for access to that data were recognized and valued throughout the development of that EDW and onboarding new data sets. So we did report on the progress of the EDW for several quarters. We've reached out and worked with the legislative fiscal analysts every step of the way as new data models are added to that report. We train new legislative fiscal staff as they come on board, and they get access directly to that data warehouse without having to go through the department for additional data requests. And so this really is a bill that was intended to make sure that the department said did what they said they were going to do, and we've demonstrated that we are in fact doing that. Additionally, we've moved much of our data to public-facing data dashboards, and the legislative fiscal analysts are relying heavily on that data, and said in our Section B subcommittee this week that they find those online dashboards extremely useful. They're using those more than they are the data warehouse. So we would propose that we would continue to work with them on adding new components to the data warehouse, but just eliminate the reporting requirement associated with those activities. Turning to the Older Montana's Trust Fund, the trust fund itself is still established, and there is some residual revenue in the long-term investment account. However, because it's not ongoingly funded through a steady and reliable revenue source, we were spending down the value of that, and we no longer have regular appropriations to spend that state special revenue. So we did get an appropriation in the 2023 budget to fully spend the cash. We're going to do that. The expenditures are reported through our monthly budget status report, but once that cash is spent, there won't be an appropriation to report on, so we'd like to eliminate the requirement to report that there are no expenditures. And then finally, as Senator Len said, the Montana Parents of Scholars program doesn't go away through this bill, just reporting on a small number of people that we serve through the program is excessive reporting, and that information is available to any legislator or public interest group that was interested in learning how we operate that program ongoing. So with that, this bill aligns with the governor's executive order to eliminate unnecessary statute, and I request it do pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Seeing none, do we have any proponents online today? No. Thank you. Do we have any opponents for Senate Bill 36? Seeing none, none online. Any discussion from the committee? Senator Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think for the bill's sponsor.
Mr. Chair, Senator Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Lenz. I just have to state that I have used the Montana Parents as Scholars Program report, and I found it to be really helpful. It highlights some of the individuals who actually utilize the program, and it's just a nice way to get aggregate data on the program. Are you open to leaving that one in? And then we can ask that question of the DPHHS representative as well.
Mr. Chair, Senator Gross, as part of this committee's discussion, I would gladly consider that, yes.
Okay, thank you. And I, Mr. Chair, I don't need to, we can leave it at that.
All right. Further questions from the committee? Okay, seeing none, let's close the hearing on Senate Bill 36. Or sponsor want to close. Go ahead, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You said it better than I could have. Thank you.
All right. Let's close the hearing on Senate Bill 36. Okay, we'll open the hearing on Senate Bill 45. Senator McCamey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm happy to be here. My name is Wendy McCamey, and my spelling of my last name is M-C, capital K-A-M-E-Y. I represent Senate District 12, and this is my fifth session in the legislature. I served four in the House, and this is my first term in the Senate. This is a bill by request of the Department of Public Health and Human Services, as you see. And the changes that are being proposed here will clarify whom is being served. To update terminology and requirements governing the designation of planning and service areas. As you will, if you don't mind following with me, on page one, I don't have your bill in front of me, so it may not be, anyway, the front page, whatever your page number is. It talks about, under Section 1, the department shall administer and supervise all forms of child and adult protective services. And then following down to number 8 in that same section, 8A says, administer child abuse prevention services funded through child abuse grants in the Montana Children's Trust Fund, provided for in Title 52, Chapter 7, Part 1, and in B, administer elder abuse prevention services, and then number 9, develop a statewide youth services and resources plan that takes into consideration local needs. Number 10, administer services to, and this is where there is a little bit of a change, we're striking the aged to, say, older adults. Administer services to older adults. Now, all of this is already in statute, with the exception of the striking of the two words, the aged, to change to older adults. And following down to number 13 under Section 1, to contract as necessary for administration of child and adult protection services for each county. And we will be including the tribes in this too. Now, this again is if you'll change or turn to Section 2 and under 4. Under Section 2, there is services to the aged, again mentioned, and that's services to older adults. Wherever the aged is noted, it is changed to older adults. And so down in Section 4, it reads like this. In number 2 of Section 4, the department shall fix the number of planning and service areas to no less than 7 and no more than 10. And number 3, planning and service areas must follow recognized county boundaries and include Indian reservations located within the designated planning and service area. Again, those are the changes, adding that verbiage, and then changing the two words, the aged, to two words, older adults. And with that, it is, as I say, just to clarify, and I will sit down and listen to proponents and opponents and answer your questions at the end, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Proponents for Senate Bill 45.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. My name is Barbara Smith. I'm the administrator of the Senior and Long-Term Care Division. I'm here today to support Senate Bill 45, which is revising the laws related to aging services. So the Older Americans Act is managed by our office, and it is managed through the contracts with 10 area agencies on aging. They provide congregate-delivered meals or delivered meals. They provide information and assistance, 39,000 calls last year. They do a lot of work. This bill seeks to cap the limit of the areas to 10 and to remove outdated language. But why do we want to cap the service areas? Well, for us, it's a funding issue. The Older Americans Act is funded with federal dollars and local dollars and a little bit of state dollars. The federal portion comes from a pro rata share of your population of 60 or older, or a minimal allotment. It does not consider land mass. It does not consider trying to get a meal from Billings out past Laurel. So we are in a minimal allotment state. And if you add planning and service areas to our program, you dilute that minimal allotment, which may cause, on the back end, problems with delivery, more money to have to come in from state and local governments. A good example as a minimal allotment state is our lovely big state and the state of Vermont get the same amount of money. At least you can drive across Vermont in 20 minutes. let's see where I'm at. So the other thing that is in the bill is we do strike 523403. It was a grandfather clause in 1983 for a four-year period. I think we're past that time that it can be safely removed. So the current setup for the Older Americans Act with 10 area agencies on aging works. Adding an additional area would dilute the funding and requires more state and local revenues, and more importantly, may interrupt the service delivery system. And additionally, think of it this way, if you add or even subtract an area agency on aging, just imagine the logistics of rerouting the delivery of meals. We provide 1.7 million meals a year. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I will answer any questions.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Rebecca Myers, M-E-Y-E-R-S. I'm here on behalf of the Montana Area Agencies on Aging Association. Try to say that multiple times. Also known as M4A, these are your providers on the ground providing the services that the department just highlighted, so I won't take any of your time to repeat that, but I just wanted to stand in support of this bill and encourage you all to consider a due pass, and we appreciate the work the department has done to put it forward. So, and thank you to the sponsor as well.
Thank you.
Happy to answer any questions as well.
Further proponents?
Good afternoon, Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Mitch Tropila. That is spelled T as in turtle, R-O-P as in pie, I-L-A. With Easter Seals Goodwill, Northern Rocky Mountain, we are headquartered in Great Falls. And we rise in support of Senate Bill 45, specifically on the section of the agency, area agencies on aging. We have a very good relationship with our area agency on aging. It's situated in Cascade at the county level. And we just feel a bill like this provides stability in that relationship moving forward. And for that reason, we are in support of Senate Bill 45. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Okay, see none. We have any online? None online. Do we have any opponents for Senate Bill 45?
Good afternoon, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Patrick Iwaki. That's spelled Y-A-W-A-K-I-E. I'm representing the Blackfeet Tribe today in opposition of Senate Bill 45 until amendments are made. We appreciate that Indian areas are included in this bill, but we are requesting amendments to be made to include language that provides consultation with tribes with respects to each tribe's elder services that they provide within their nation. We would also like to see an amendment with language that includes involvement of tribal nations, law enforcement, and human or social services for cases that involve Native Americans living within service areas on reservations, and urban American Indian health service or centers for members living off the reservation. We would like to see these amendments made before we provide support. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents or opponents? Have any online today? No opponents online. Any informational witnesses? Seeing none, do we have any discussion from the committee? Yes, Senator Kelker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for the last speaker. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would you tell me how to spell your name again?
It's spelled Y-A-W-A-K-I-E.
And say it with me.
Iwaki.
Okay. I think I'm better introduced. Thank you. Are you wanting these amendments because you think without this bill, the existing programs that are already involved with Indian elders are not connected to the system from DPHHS? Is that?
Yeah, considering I just was reviewing the policy for elder services, and I don't see any language that regards proper consultation with the tribes.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair, follow up?
Follow up.
Does that mean that you would like an MOU or, you know, some kind of documentation that of how that relationship exists?
Yeah, moving towards an agreement just so that they're on the same page and everything's coordinated properly.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Senator Lenz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for Barb Smith.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lenz.
Yeah, Ms. Smith, we are at 10 area agencies on aging right now, are we not?
Correct.
So, follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
So, and I've kind of always been, we had the opportunity to go to 12. I've never seen a good reason to do that. But while we're visiting on, you know, maybe just establishing that 10, could we maybe have would you be open to a discussion in your department on maybe changing or directing or, I guess, allowing legislative input on changing the boundaries of these areas?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lenz, we're always willing to have a conversation. We do need to stay within the boundaries of the Older Americans Act.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
So I agree with that, and I understand that. I've read it. However, we're sitting in some cases. I know Mr. Tropia talked about how nice it is having Cascades, but Cascades is only one county. Hill is only one county. I believe Flathead is only one county. And then areas like Billings are many, many counties. So let's just take Hill. That could serve a bigger area. So I would look at that as is something that keeps popping up. And I'd like us to have that conversation with this bill or some other bill to make that look different and more efficiently serve our Montanans. Could we do have that limited budget?
Yes.
Could we do that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lenz, we could do that. We do have, you're right, just three counties that are independent. One of the parts of the acts of the Older American Act is that we allow a governmental unit first chance if they can serve the area. The other thing to talk about when we sit down is that we're in the middle of a state plan process, so we'd have to just kind of massage that through, but we're willing to have the conversation.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Further questions from the committee? I have one question for, I think, Barb Smith, please.
Mr. Chairman?
I think this goes back to maybe what Mr. Iwaki is, if I pronounced that correctly, is maybe some of his concerns. I don't know, but can you tell me, I see that subsection 4 under section 4 is deleted. What's happening here? Is there any change with respect to how this law affects Indian reservations with the striking of that language, or is that language put back into the previous subsection?
Mr. Chairman, it's put back in the previous subsection. The Administration on Community Living no longer allows all the reservations to come together to be a unit because it does segregate them.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. no further questions from the committee, would the sponsor like to close?
Yes, I would, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much for a very good hearing and for good questions. And I thank my proponents and the opponent for his input as well. It's always really good to have as much information and conversation to be able to provide the best services for the citizens of Montana, and I'm happy to do that. I heartily urge a due pass on Senate Bill 45, and I would be amenable to an amendment. I see no conflict there as long as the agency is also for that. And with that, Mr. Chair and committee, thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Senator McCamey. Well, this closes the hearing on Senate Bill 45. The committee will just take a we'll just move right on to some executive action here.
Make sure she has enough.
You have enough. You can take a quick break if you need to. The committee, I'll just take a quick 5-minute break and then we'll come back for executive action. Thanks.
Yeah, so I mean, no matter what, it's like the areas are going to be. That's all.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't think there's any.
Yeah, yeah.
My biggest thing is I'm just looking at this and I'm not sure the same thing.
Okay, members of the committee, we'll come back to order here. I'm going to go in order of Senate Bill 4, Senate Bill 26, and Senate Bill 34.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 4 do pass. Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Okay, discussion on Senate Bill 4. Yes, that's your bill, Senator Gross.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would ask to pass consideration for the day and delay action on this bill. Just to clear up some confusion that I wasn't aware there were concerns from committee members.
Okay.
Just now learned. I'm sorry.
Senator Glenn, do you have anything to weigh in on that, or just you go okay with that, or what? That's fine. Okay, we'll pass this one for the day and come back to it. Thank you, Senator Gross. Yeah, can you withdraw that motion?
Mr. Chair, I withdraw my motion.
Thank you. Let's go ahead and move to Senate Bill 26.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 26 do pass.
Thank you, Senator Linz. Okay, this was the bill on exempting fentanyl testing strips by Senator Lynch. Any discussion on this bill?
Mr. Chairman, I move to table Senate Bill 26.
Okay, that's non-debatable motion. We'll go ahead and go do a roll call vote. Just remind the committee this is a table motion, so a yes vote kills the bill.
Vice Chair Lenz.
Aye.
Senator Beard.
Yes.
Senator Glimm.
Yes.
Senator Gross.
No.
Senator Heinba.
Yes.
Vice Chair Kelker.
No.
Senator Molnar.
Yes.
Senator Weber.
No.
Chairman McGilvery.
Yes. Okay. We'll move on to motion carries.
Give the vote.
Yeah, Secretary, you want to tally those votes for us?
Six yes, two no, one okay. Absent.
Table motion carries.
There's more than two no.
Oh, was there a proxy? My apologies.
There was.
No, yeah. There was no proxy.
6-3. Yes.
Okay, sorry. Our nose. My apologies.
Thank you. Let's go ahead and move to Senate Bill 34.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 34 do pass.
All right. Committee, any discussion on Senate Bill 34? Senator Molnar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My notes indicate that the sponsor, Senator Lynch, said that there's an 86% increase in violence against vulnerable adults. Does anybody remember why? Did we change a definition, or are we just suddenly 86% more prone to beat up elderly people?
Committee, anybody have a comment on that? Senator Kelker.
I think there's no strange thing happening here. It's actually more of a clarity of the definition that has been already been using. Vulnerable adult is probably kinder what's been having before. So I don't think this means a whole big change of anything.
Do you have the amendment?
I don't have it in front of me.
The committee, it seems to me there was an amendment. Does anybody have that amendment? Is anyone going to... You have it? Okay. Yeah. You want to pass it out?
Whose move it is? Is it? Is it?
Want me to move the amendment? Mr. Chair, I move amendment SB 0034.001.001, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Maddie, can you just explain this amendment to us, what it's doing?
I'm going to screen share and pull this up on the screens. This amendment pulls in four sections from Title 32, Chapter 1, Part 15, that provide for financial institutions in dealing with situations where they believe there might be financial exploitation going on. Pulling in these four sections, we change the term an older person or a person with a developmental disability to a vulnerable adult, and that term is defined as it is defined. If I scrolled down, did I go past it? Oh, there. As has the meaning provided in 523.803, which is the updated definition later in the bill. And so this would make it so that the financial institutions have the same definition for vulnerable adults and the people that these protections cover that are used in the other statutes that are being amended in this bill. So it adds the definition of vulnerable adult, and it removes the prior definitions of older person and person with a developmental disability. Those definitions, as they were throughout the other statutes that were changed, were all slightly different, and this will make it so they all have the same definition.
Thank you, Maddie. So any discussion on this amendment? Senator Kelker.
I think it's a good step, the amendment, to have everything clear and using the same language.
So, Maddie, is my understanding here, all we're doing is just cleaning up this statute and changing an older person and a person with a developmental disability, just changing the term to vulnerable adult. And that's defined in that 523.803.
That is correct.
Okay, any discussion on this? Okay, we'll take a roll call vote on this amendment.
All right. Vice Chair Lenz.
Aye.
Senator Beard.
Yes.
Senator Glimm.
Yes.
Senator Gross.
Yes.
Senator Heinbaugh.
Yes.
Vice Chair Kelker.
Yes.
Senator Molnar. Senator Weber. Yes. Chairman McGilvery.
Aye.
9 ayes, 0 noes.
The amendment passes.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 34 as amended.
Thank you, Senator. All right. Any discussion on the bill as amended? Questions have been called. Roll call vote.
Vice Chair Lenz.
Aye.
Senator Beard.
Yes.
Senator Glimm.
Yes.
Senator Gross.
Yes.
Senator Heinbaugh.
Yes.
Vice Chair Kelker.
Yes.
Senator Molnar. Senator Weber?
Yes.
Chairman McGilvery?
Aye.
9 ayes.
Okay, thank you, committee. We'll go ahead and think that closes the executive action. No other executive action today. We have two more bills on Monday, I believe, and we'll do executive action on Senator Gross's bill. And anything else for the good of the order? Okay. Senate Public Health is adjourned.
Good. Good plan. Quick question.